And what's starting to happen now as we evolve, the identity is moving from specialist to generalist. And generalist is choosing your identity as the priority and building a team around you to achieve what it is that your identity wants to achieve. If you understand that robotics and AI will allow you to create anything you can ultimately dream of, anything that you want to do, you'll have this potentiality to use these services over the next few years that gives you an opportunity to create anything you want. The biggest question is, what do you want to create?
Hi, and welcome to the Expansive Podcast. This is episode number 268. 268 episodes of talking about how to live an expansive life, how to be more open in how we move through the world, how to not shrink. When everyone asked me about the book that we brought out, which is The Expansion of the Expansive, then I tell them that the book is in response to a world that is very overwhelming. And that in an overwhelming world, it's easy to feel like you need to shrink, that all this pressure is making you small. But that what The Expansive is about and what the book is about is for you to be more open, for you to be expansive in how you think and how you move and how you deal with the challenges that are in front of you. And so that is what we are all about. That's what the pod is about. My name is Eric, and I'm always joined by my ever elegant co-host, Mr. John Sane, sitting in Dubai. Dude, how are you?
Yeah, I'm wonderful. I like that. That's shrinking and expansion. I guess the opposite of expansion is shrinkage.
Yeah.
Shrinking. Mm. And I love that. That's, I never really thought about that. Are you shrinking or are you expanding? Are you defending or are you stepping forward? And I think a lot of people go into defense when there's overwhelm. And somebody was asking me the other day, like, if you had to put into a sentence what it is that you do for leaders and organizations, I came to the conclusion that I take the anxiousness out about the future. It's like,
that's good.
Can we release the anxiousness around AI and the uncertainty of the future? And the minute you release anxiousness, you become front-footed. You become expansive in the way that you think. And I think that people don't even realize they become shrinking. They start to shrink in the way they think and what their potential is. And I guess that's going to be the theme of this week's pod, is really about stepping in to the potential future that you can sort of expand into. But just before we do that, does that mean that next week is 269?
Yes, it is.
I've been following this comedian, Jeff Dye. He is brilliant. Look him up, Jeff Dye, D-Y-E. He's so good. And he does this whole piece, and I'm so sorry, Mom, if you're listening, but he does this whole piece on 69ing, and he says, why are you in a hurry? Why must you 69? Just relax. This is why. Just one at a time is fine. It's like, darling, the train arrives in 4 minutes. Let's 69. It's like, calm down. Then don't have sex. Just wait. Take it easy. So anyway, that's high school John just checking in and making sure everybody's still here. Welcome to it. It's expansive. Number 268. Next week, we'll have all the 69er jokes.
Maybe I just won't. I won't mention it next week.
I didn't know. I never know what number we're on. Yes, don't mention it next week. Hopefully, I forget because I can't help it. High school John has to come out and make a trip.
Listen, speaking of like milestones and dates, today we are recording on the 16th of Feb, and you know everyone has been going on about the Year of the Horse, and technically the Year of the Horse starts tomorrow because it's the Chinese New Year's. So. If, by the time you listen to this, sorry, like the moment has come and gone for you to do something about it. But the idea would be that today would be the day to really like finally like shed all, like everything you need to be shedding, thinking about what do I need to remove? What could I be donating, taking out of the house? And then tomorrow is to really step into the Year of the Horse, getting ready for your gallop and your run.
Dude, you know, I've been watching a lot of it. Obviously, it's all over social media at the moment. And these ladies that I was listening to that are astrologists, they were saying that the last time they had this sort of setup was 6,000 years ago. 6,000 years ago. You're like, what? What are you talking about? And the biggest thing, and I think this is also a great place to open up the pod today. Do you know the importance of the year 1989? I'll go through a bunch.
89.
Yeah.
I'll go through a bunch of them for you. Berlin Wall comes down. 2, Tiananmen Square happens. China's shift to this quasi-capitalist society that they have at the moment. 3, the median age of human beings globally tops 40. Before that, adults were below 40. The median age of human population tips 40. Mm. So it moves over into 40. Exxon Valdez, the spill, happens in 1989, which begins the green movement and begins our waking up to nature. 1989, the internet gets invented, the beginning of new communications. And so 1989 had this incredible shift. And if you know about the fourth turning, where they talk about spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And if you don't know about the fourth turning, it's about this cycle that they have researched that lasts 80 years. It's called the saeculum. And the last time it ended was 1946 with the end of World War II. And then humanity goes through a 20-year spring period, 20-year summer period, 20-year autumn period, and then a 20-year winter period. The winter period is supposed to end in 2028. And in 1989, we were in autumn, where the leaves fall off the trees in preparation for winter. And 1989 was the end of this huge sort of human cycle that many of us weren't even aware of. But 1989 was a pivotal year in new communication and letting go of old behaviors, like the Berlin Wall, like Tiananmen Square, and the internet being birthed. And guess what? The stars are again in exactly where they were in 1989. And so we are about to have some massive shifts and massive awakenings to new potentialities and, you know, newness in all aspects. And in order to bring anything new into your life, you have to let go of the old. In order for you to evolve, you have to release identity. And I want to unpack this a little bit further. But before I do, you have any comments?
No, I just think it's, 1989, what a year. And I'm definitely seeing the same signs and symptoms at the moment. And I think there's a lot of uncertainty and fluctuation globally in every single aspect of our lives.
Every.
And, you know, obviously we talk about AI all the time on the pod because that's just something that's very relevant to the world that we operate in and that it's literally going to affect everyone. So we talk about that a lot. And obviously, there's a lot of uncertainty about what AI is going to do and how that's going to change the world. But it's not just that. It's literally operating in religion. It's in like politics. It is in just our own certainty of our jobs and how those jobs impact our identity. Like, I mean, it's everywhere. So, yeah, I think it's a very much needed time for people to understand how to shift identity in a world where your identity is going to be, in some ways, stripped from you and taken from you.
You know, in the past, we have to realize that the Industrial Revolution got us to become specialists without us even realizing we were becoming specialists. And the way you want to think about being a specialist is society told you there were 10 different roles for you to choose from. And what you would do is you would choose one of those roles and fit yourself into that speciality. Doctor, engineer, lawyer, digital person, whatever the case was. And what's starting to happen now as we evolve, the identity is moving from specialist to generalist. And generalist is choosing your identity as the priority and building a team around you to achieve what it is that your identity wants to achieve. So you realize that the identity was very much focused on fitting into a structure, a bracket, a salary, a potentiality. And now the potentiality's fallen away and all of it is based on who you are and what it is that you want to achieve and the skill sets you have to build around you to build that solution that you want to build, right? And this identity is 180 degrees different because it's not about fitting in, it's about fitting out. And if you understand that robotics and AI will allow you to create anything you can ultimately dream of, anything that you want to do, you'll have this potentiality to use these services over the next few years that gives you an opportunity to create anything you want. The biggest question is, what do you want to create? And most people have zero clue of what they want to create. Why? Because they've spent their lives fitting into a system and the system has told them who they are, and who they are is derived, or the value that they give society is derived on their title. That's why your name changes to DR when you become a doctor. It's a social capital, societal speciality skill set that lots of girls used to say, I want to get married to a doctor. As long as he's a doctor, I don't mind. Why? It's so much social capital, stability, and that was the identity. Now, I want to unpack identity a bit further, but realizing that we didn't even know we were fitting into a system and becoming aware of that is step one. Becoming aware that step two is identifying your own deep desire of achieving something or doing something or adding value in some way, that becomes your priority, which means you have to ask yourself deeper questions because you can't be asking questions like everybody else is educated in the same way as you are because you'll keep solving and giving us solutions that are similar to everything else. And the future requires that uniqueness. But before I carry on, any comments from you?
I think that's why there's going to be a long, like for a long time, there's going to still be a big moat in terms of what people create, even though they have all these tools available to them. You know, Seed Dance came out last week, the latest Seed Dance. And for those who haven't seen it, it allows you to really create Hollywood-style CGI, like graphics, you know. And some of the things we've already seen is, for example, guys mashing up Tom Cruise and John Wick in a fight. And it looks so lifelike. And one of my favorite use cases is people are recreating the endings they actually want to see in movies. So for example, Stranger Things 5 Stranger Things ran for 10 years to deliver the worst ending possible. Like the ending was so bad that people continuously thought there must be a secret episode that was going to be released, which there wasn't. But now fans are recreating the ending. And you can see it's not quite there yet, but like it's enough to buy into the story. It's good enough for you to go, wow, like this is really cool. And you give it 2 years and they are going to perfectly recreate the ending that they want to see. Not even. Yeah, not even. But the moat is, so even if you give me all those tools, because I don't have the vision around like movie creating, for example, I can't use it yet. Like I haven't unlocked that.
What story are you wanting to tell?
Me, you know?
Exactly. Yes. What story do you want to tell? That's the point.
What story do you want to tell?
What sort of storyteller are you? Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And I can give you Claude Code, which is able to create any app that you want to create, but you still need to be able to figure out what that app is going to be. And so that's why I think specialists still have an advantage because they have the foundation for it. And so they can go, cool, this new tool allows me to do this in a much quicker time.
Yes. Yes.
But what it is going to do is that it's going to push down into the generalist because if you can unlock your creativity, like where could you go with it? So
I love that you're holding on to three cokies while you're talking to me. And does that mean that you want to go onto the whiteboard and start drawing something out for us, Eric? Like what's going on?
I need to have a pen in my hand at all times. It's like, that's part of my identity. Like what
would
I do
without a
pen?
Your identity is I'm a teacher. I can't. And it used to be one of those chalkboard clearers. Now it's a cokie.
Either that or it's a knife. So you choose which Eric you get for the day.
I thought it was a clicker. No, I thought it was a clicker, not a knife.
Yeah.
Okay. Geez, you can take a boy out of springs, but you can't take springs out of a boy.
What can you
springs
say?
Springs, South. If anybody who's not from South Africa, Springs is this rough area in South Africa that Eric comes from. I know he looks very well put together now, but geez, I mean, those aren't his teeth. Those are fake teeth that he had to put in because where he comes from, nobody has teeth. I'm joking. If we carry on with identity, I think the identity that I have been working with a lot inside my mind is I've spoken to a few of my friends over the last 6 months or so around this identity section. And two of my friends, one of them nearly sold his business for $50 million. And the other one nearly sold his business for $42 million. And both of them live in South Africa. So you can imagine that's close to R1 billion that both of them were about to come into. And it fell through by nothing to do with them. It was like things just worked out and it didn't work out. And they went from almost signing the document to having due diligence done on their businesses to phoning me and telling me that they're about to become billionaires and they're about to buy yachts and blah, 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 all these things are about to happen. And then out of nowhere, it collapsed. And in both of their cases, I spoke to them on a very deep emotional level around them not thinking they're deserving of that money. And that's the identity they carry. And it was such a emotional space to talk about because in your logical mind, you do want to have that. But in your subconscious mind, there's something going on in your identity that doesn't believe you deserve that. Because if you did, it would have flowed into place quite simply, like anything does that you believe that you deserve and that your identity is linked to. And what we have to start to realize is that we have blueprint personality traits that have been taught into us and created within us from our parents, or even maybe we came birthed with them, and we have to uncover those to try and discover it. Now, a very easy example of this is when somebody wins the lotto and they can't keep up, they can't keep that money, and within 6 months they're poor again because they've spent so much of their time complaining about rich people and complaining of the fact that they don't have money, that when they do get money, their identity doesn't fit having money, even though they want the money. But their identity is about the struggle. And if your identity is about being an activist or a struggling person, or these people are bad and those people are bad, and now all of a sudden that thing solves itself, you can't live with that solved issue because your identity doesn't link to it. So it's really about deeply, deeply investigating what your identity is about and then redesigning your identity from a very, very deep place. Now, obviously, Eric and I meditate a lot, but recently I've been doing a meditation called Outpicturing from Dr. Joe Dispenza. And it's a 30-minute meditation where he gets you to do a couple things. And the way I've started to think about it is I do it every morning. And every time I come out of that meditation, I feel like I've harvested good emotions. I feel like I've brought good emotions into my heart and my head, because that's the whole meditation is feel gratitude in your heart, feel gratitude in your mind, feel love in your heart, love in your mind, feel generous in your heart. Like he goes through a whole range of emotions. And what you're actually doing is rehearsing a new identity. That's really and truly what you're doing, is because your identity, if it's not practicing those emotions, you can't bring them as a forefront and a lens to make decisions from, because they're too far away from you because you haven't rehearsed them enough. You have them in inklings or like little time, once in a while you feel them. And just before we came online, you were complaining and frustrated, and so was I, about two certain things. And we realized that the identity that we've developed is about the struggle. It's not about the achievement. And so we want to find things to be frustrated about. We want to find things that we're upset about. And I used to, for the longest time, use animal abuse as a permission slip to make myself feel sad and angry. And I was like, why do I do that to myself? Why am I sitting in my lounge or in the back of an Uber and I'm looking at some houses hoping to see a dog chained up so I can be angry and sad for that dog? Why? Why can't I just think about Eric with his dogs on the beach having the best time ever, and his dogs are living life, the best lives? And I can listen to and watch so many TikToks about people amazingly spoiling their dogs. Why am I not choosing that? Because I have an identity somewhere linked to want to feel sad or angry. And I remember my ex-girlfriend always used to tell me that she's an activist because it's important to be an activist. I said, well, I think you're using whatever you're becoming an activist about to portray and extend your own anger and sadness that's been unprocessed. And so we have to realize that this identity plays such a big role in what we're creating, and we have to become very aware of what that identity is and rehearse a new identity. I have one more piece to say about it, but before I do, any comments?
No, go for it. I'll reserve my comments.
Oh, you'll reserve. Okay, what? Yeah, Peanut gallery. Yes.
No, I'll bring them later. You're in such a good flow. I didn't want to stop your flow. Keep going.
So my biggest thing around this is, again, about the money identity. And watching my two friends go from close to R1 billion to nothing, both of them to nothing. They didn't even go to 100 million. They went to zero. And I was like, this is an identity play, because they're clever, they're networked, they're on the ball. There's nothing wrong with them. And then I've got a friend who's a billionaire. And he has an identity that believes that he is worthy of that amount of money. And so in my own life, and I made a video about it yesterday because it was twirling inside my head around living where I'm living right now. And I've shown you the pictures. And just down the road from my house is a car showroom.
Yeah,
that I'm not even a car guy, but I've sent you pictures from that car showroom. I'm like, bro, what? I didn't even know a car like this existed. It's like a Rolls Royce with a kit and a triple kit and a this and a that. And it's a 12 million R1 car. It's a $1 million car. And I'm watching this and I'm looking at it and I see the people getting on in and out of these cars and I'm trying to figure out, hang on a second, who do they think they are? What sort of identity do they have around their money? And I've realized that a lot of people think about Dubai as those flashy people, as those people that are just about the money. And then I've always realized that in every society, there's always the people that we talk about that are the flashy people about the money. But now that I'm inside this community, I realize that it's not being flashy. This is just what you spend your money on. It's like you went from spending your money in X place, now it's at Y place because you've developed an identity that thinks it's okay for you to earn this money and spend this money. Now, a friend of mine in South Africa, I was telling him about this grocery store that's underneath my home. I live above Chinatown, which is linked to Dubai Mall, but it's a very high-end Chinatown. It's not some smelly, sometimes in London, I used to walk through Chinatown, which I loved, but it was smelly sometimes because their cooking is different to ours. And so it's a very high-end Chinatown. And they have this Chinese or Japanese grocery store underneath my house. And everything is there from China. And I was joking with my friends last night. I've bought a few things from there. I have no idea what's in them because they were Chinese branding. So I've come into my house and I'm eating them. I don't even know what I'm eating. But anyway, some sweet stuff. But what I was telling my friend in South Africa is they've got these individually wrapped fruits downstairs. And these individually wrapped fruits are quite famous because they have them at Harrods. They have them at all these very high-end places. And there was a watermelon down there that was $100, $100 for a small watermelon. Like it wasn't even a big watermelon. And it was individually wrapped. It was beautiful. It had a label on it. And I said this to my friend, and my friend almost got irritated. And that's ridiculous, he said. That's ridiculous. He drives a Porsche and lives in Camps Bay, right? So I said to him, I was like, Richie, oh shit, I said his name. Damn it. I wasn't going to say his name. Funny, his name is Richie. His name is Richard. And he's telling me, that's ridiculous. I said, you know, somebody living on the street, seeing you drive past with a Porsche and going into Woolworths and spending 2,000 Rand on groceries thinks it's absolutely ridiculous. But you've become clear on your identity of earning that much money, living where you are and spending what you are. Anything above that is not within your identity, so you diss it. Now, at every level of society, people diss people above them because they haven't clicked into that identity yet. And so now that I'm living here, I'm realizing my money identity has changed because I've released this idea of what I should earn and how I should earn and what the potential of earning is. And you and I have spoken about it on the pod around we think we're earning a lot of money because we base our income based on rands, which is a weak currency. And now we convert it and we're like, oh my God, we're earning so much money, but our benchmark is low. And so by rehearsing these emotions that Dr. Joe gives you to do, you slowly but surely start to harvest a new identity and your environment starts to change. Your conversations start to change. Your plane tickets start to change. You know, I obviously travel a lot and I'm going to California next week and my travel agent was saying, okay, well, where do you want to go stay? And I was looking everywhere and I was like, I think Laguna Beach would be quite nice in California. So I'm going to go stay in Laguna Beach. And I was looking at the hotel rooms that I was going to book. And I for a second there, went back to old John and I started looking at pricing that old John could afford. And I had to like awaken myself and like, hang on a second, that's not who you are anymore. You can now book a different hotel room and it's okay because more money's coming in. You're adding more value to the world. You've developed an identity that's got access to different things now. And I have to keep reminding myself that I'm not poor anymore. I don't have to shrink to who I used to be. And I think the idea that we always have to save money and budget is a way that helps you shrink to your existing income, not expand yourself into the next level of income. And I think that's such an important thing for people to realize is that many people want to live a better life, but their identity doesn't allow them to. It almost fights against them to move into that state.
So good, dude. So, so good. You know, when I watched your video, when you said...
Did you like it though? Did you like it? I can't remember. I didn't see the like.
I liked it, and internally I really liked it.
Great. Wow, that's such a good support system. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Yes.
I was just so enthralled by your words you were saying.
You forgot to like. Yeah, you forgot to like. Yeah, you loved it so much.
Have you seen those TikTok videos where like the guy's on the phone and he's like busy, he's like scrolling, you know, TikTok, and then he laughs at something, like he wants to show his wife, and then he turns around and his wife is like on the floor. He's like, oh shit, like 911. Have you seen those videos?
You forgot? Happens to all of us, dude.
Like, you see one thing onto the next. What I really liked about your video was you said, and you just said it again, I have to remind myself I'm not poor anymore. And like, I know for some people that's going to be very triggering to hear that because it almost comes across, it'll come across as arrogant to them.
Yeah.
But I understand the identity shift that incorporates or that is required there. And it's the hardest work to do because very often you have to do that. And you're a good example here because you have to do identity work sometimes in the absence of evidence, you know? So like you need to start working on your identity to hold more money, to achieve more things, to be more successful, even though those things aren't there yet. So you have to work in the absence of evidence. Then the evidence arrives and now you've kind of like your effort is starting to show or bear fruit. But then, even though you get the evidence, like that identity still is busy shifting. It still hasn't completed the process. And so that's what I'm saying, you're a good example of this because you do a lot of the internal work in order to release and to build and open up a new identity. And even though you step into that new future and you do it well, you are still
being pulled back,
in some ways tethered to the past. And you still have to remind yourself that I'm not that identity. It's like it's this ongoing thing. So it's almost like your identity shifts in increments, but like it doesn't just arrive fully formed.
Anyway, somebody made a comment on the LinkedIn video and it said, "This is the worst advice ever. The masses are struggling. They, you know," I said, and I wrote back, I said, "I'm not speaking to the masses though. Like, this is not a video for the masses. This is a video for people that have got to a point in their lives that want to achieve more. And if you're triggered and think that part is arrogant, it's because you've still got issues around money.
Yeah.
Your identity is not feeling comfortable with it. That's why people want to hate on Dubai before they've even been here, because the identity doesn't fit. And they're like, I don't want to be there. That's it. Yeah, you know, they just... It's their own trauma coming out and attacking. It's easier to attack than it is to shift your identity. Because the truth is, you also want to live this life and you also want to fly business and you also want to live in four. Like, of course you do. All of us do. We want more luxury. We want to be around more convenience. We want to be more comfortable. We want our families to be in better education. All of those things we want. But the minute it's out of reach, we attack it. And I have done it. I know from my own internal dialogue, attacking people ahead of me to give myself some level of comfort, you know, in my inability to have shifted up towards it, you know? So yeah, I knew when I made that video, it's gonna upset a few people, but that's the point of it, is that it's upsetting you because you haven't worked on your identity.
And, you know, I think it's obviously a very tough thing to do because people don't want to look at what triggers them. They don't want to look at their frustrations. Like, even so, I've been doing the art picturing meditation as well. And I didn't meditate this morning. And I think that the frustration that I've been feeling today specifically is probably a result of not sitting down and doing a bit of that work this morning. Because I'm looking at the vision of the future and it's so clear in my mind. Like, I can, you know, I close my eyes, I can perfectly see every aspect of my vision of the future. And then to open my eyes and not to see it, that immediately creates the frustration. Whereas like when I'm in the meditations and I'm like, I'm feeling the joy of it. And like Joe Dispenza always uses, fall in love with it. Like when I'm in love with it, I don't feel that frustration, you know?
Mm. How can you feel frustrated and be in love with something? It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. So it's a constant invitation to do the inner work when you feel the frustration. And a good example actually for me recently is Cape Town has undergone a massive shift in my mind. Like I want to be obviously doing a lot more work internationally and I want to, I think in my vision for the future, I'm based between Cape Town and, for example, Dubai or London. I don't think I'm living that side, but I think I'm based between. And recently, weirdly enough, I think YouTube is actually a big part of what shifted something for me. I realized that, you know, Cape Town is, it's one of the most like idyllic destinations in the world. It's one of the most sought after destinations in the world. And I think what like opened my eyes was I saw all these influencers over December come to Cape Town and just live it up, dude. And I'm like, this is like my hood. Like, this is where I live.
Yeah.
And yet it's like, like people would, you know, they come and spend a lot of money just to be in this like beauty and like this lifestyle. And yet this is my life every day. And despite having that, I wanted something else. And I was like, actually, you are literally living where like one of the most sought after destinations. And so like that started changing how I'm thinking about how I'm showing up in the world that I'm living in, like in my space, and shifting it at an identity level, like embracing it rather than like wanting to just get away from it. And it's so weird. Like I had to see that external reflection for it to come back to me.
Mm, very good.
And it's actually, I mean, just on a different note, it's been really interesting to see how people have been hating on it. Because like, obviously people come here with their dollars and their euros and their pounds and they get to live a big life. And many South Africans don't even get to live that life. And so I've been seeing that like influencers sharing like what they're doing here and people are saying, go home, like, you know, when are you leaving? And I was like, it's so terrible. Like I understand where that frustration comes from, but it's again, it's like, it's something for you to sit with rather than being frustrated by them. Some is at West, by the way, sorry, I'm going on a tangent, but some is at West is a good example. Germans come here with their euros and they buy up all the property and people get very frustrated with that. But the thing is, you're getting frustrated because they have access to resources that you aren't working towards achieving. That's actually the problem, is like you see their resources and because you don't have it, that's where the frustration lies. But you can change that. And but you're not going to change it through frustration.
Activism. That's why I'm so anti-activism. Activism is keeping whatever it is alive because you're giving it energy. Like, develop something new. Was it Socrates or Aristotle said, the trick is to focus on the new and not the old. And activism is keeping the old alive, constantly keeping it alive, not developing anything new. And you tell an activist that and they'll shout at you because you're messing with their identity. Mm. And this is what most people take so much personal attack. They think it's a personal attack when it's a deep identity that they've bought into that they can't break out of. And it's such deep work, man. You got to do such deep work around it to try and figure out what it is that's stopping you and how do you rehearse a new one, you know? And money is just one of them. Body is another. Some people are comfortable being fat and some people are comfortable not being fit and some people are always fit and some people are... And fashion is another. Like, how do you dress? Who do you think you are that you dress like that? What's the statement you're trying to make? You know, charity work. I mean, you name it. Everything is an identity.
Yes, there's so many.
Everything is an identity. And people don't realize that. That the biggest... And look, my new book is all about that. Is that the future of leadership is about identity, not strategy. It's all identity. It's like you can do the best strategies in the world and you've got some identity within you that doesn't want to see it successful or short run or somebody's going to take advantage of you. And I was speaking to this guy I bumped into the promenade yesterday and I've known him for about 6 or 7 years and I've watched him go from corporate to corporate to corporate to corporate and have exactly the same issue. And I said to him, I said, this is your identity that you keep finding micromanagers, male micromanagers that frustrate you and get you to leave the job. He's like, what's going on? I was like, yeah, because your identity is stuck into thinking that leadership and love and work requires being micromanaged. It's you. It's you creating. I'm not creating any of that. And I've known you for 6 years and you've had 5 jobs and it's always the same issue. And so again, it's like it's a continuous process that people don't realize, you know. And now that we're moving into this year of the horse, guess what? If you haven't dealt with it, it's going to be very difficult because that horse, the speed of the horse is going to go down whatever you choose to gallop with. If you're galloping with activism and anger and frustration, well, welcome to your new life, you grumpy old person. Everything is a problem. And so you've got to release those things to gallop in the right direction, you know? So even our frustration before getting on the call, we must be careful of that. That's what we have to leave behind, not clothes in your house and yes, but that emotional addiction. And, you know, I've called him Unfair Freddy. Unfair Freddy. He thinks everything's unfair. You're like, no, bro, it's not unfair. Relax. Chill. Like, it's not unfair. This is the flow of what the system has to bring forward, you know? So, name that character.
It's so good, dude. I think a good practice for people just as they come out of today's podcast is like when you feel a frustration, when you see something externally that you're like, that should change, you should actually start with how should I change? And that's going to be a very strong reflection point for you. That every time you feel that frustration or resentment or anger, instead of just the continuous judgment onto the thing or the person or the situation, just for a moment, turn it onto yourself and just ask, well, what's happening internally for me that's either creating this or why do I feel like this about the situation? And become a lot more curious about your own responses towards the world, because the world's going to keep moving. Things are going to keep happening. There's always going to be levels upon levels upon levels. None of that you can control. But what you can control is your response to it.
Your reaction.
Yeah. And yeah, and again, if you are going to show up towards these things defensively, irritable, angry, then guess what? Like, you'll never get access to those levels, or you'll never get to dissolve.
Well, you don't actually want access. You don't want access. You want to be angry about the access. You want to be angry about not having access. That's where your brain is sitting. And now I've become addicted to being angry with people who have access and not me. And that's exactly what the universe will keep giving you. I read something the other day that I've actually written a blog about, a newsletter about, is our brains are not emitters of a frequency. They are receivers of a frequency. In other words, every single idea and experience is available to you. Depending on the frequency that you have, you tap into that potentiality. So everything is available. Your level of frequency and nervous system gives you access to different levels. And so quantum science tells us that everything is all happening all at once, all right now. And your ability to recalibrate your frequency gives you access to new thoughts, new ideas, and new experiences depending on you. And I thought that was such an interesting take on it, because we've always thought that your thinking puts out a frequency. But this guy was saying, no, it actually receiving whatever frequency is out there that you decide to receive based on your nervous system and based on your own frequency. And I thought, wow, okay, that's a different way of thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess it makes a lot of sense. If you think of like almost any event and there's 10 people watching it, they all receive it in a different way. Cool, dude. Anything else about identity that you wanted to leave us with?
I really feel like this has become such a clear thing for me since I turned 50. It's like I turned 50 and all of a sudden this idea of who I want to be and how I want to show up changed so dramatically. Like, I mean, obviously you follow me on Insta. I know you don't like Mitch, but I know you somewhere there. And you see how many pictures I'm putting up on my new clothes. And,
yeah, I see it.
This is a new identity, but this is my new identity. Like, I want to be more into my fashion. I want to be expressing myself in a different way. I want my body to be an expression of my identity.
Can I just say, I'm very happy to see you wearing more ties, because I remember when I was wearing my ties and you were giving me so much flack for it.
Yes, yes. But I see you're not wearing ties anymore, but I don't want to see any new ties. Don't let me see any ties, my boy.
I do wear ties. No, you don't. Of course I do.
In the recent outfits, you've been wearing white t-shirts, brown suits and white shoes.
I'm so happy to see you wear a tie.
Thank you. Yeah. Look, I wanted to add, because I'm not wearing suit jackets anymore. I'm wearing almost like casual jackets. So I've got to be able to make it look a bit smarter with the tie. And it's also like a casual look. It's not a super smart look. So yeah, look, again, identity. It's all identity, right? And it's like, who do I want to be? I want to be that centered, muscular, lean guy who's growing older in a very graceful way. And grace is not just fashion and leanness. It's centeredness. It's connectedness. It's coherence. And so that's also very much clearly in my identity of who I want to be as I'm growing up and growing up, as I'm growing older. And as I'm growing up, finally, I started growing up 6 months ago.
Is the evidence really there if you think about how we started this podcast?
369.
With,
369. No, it's not.
Is there really any evidence of you growing up?
Zero.
Show it to me.
Yes. Zero. There's nothing. I'll show you my bank account. That's what I'll show you, boy. It's a man's bank account with a child's perspective.
Listen, dude. I mean, cool. I think that's what it comes down to, is that you have to cultivate that intentionality around it. And I have this picture in my head of two circles. And on the one, it's the external world. And it's chaotic, you know, it's spinning very quickly. There's just a lot of things happening in that space. And then the other circle is this, like your internal world. And the way that you want that is to be like this very slow, elegant, softly spinning kind of thing. Like it's the total opposite. And what we tend to do is we want to match our internal world with the external world. And that's just a recipe for chaos, because you can't match that pace. You don't want to match that level of chaos. So you need to be slow and composed internally. But the only way you get there is that you actually have to create the intentionality for who you're going to be and how you're going to show up. And the only way you get to that is that you actually need to sit down and you need to be willing to like write in a journal, or you need to be doing coaching sessions, or you need to be doing meditations, preferably all of it.
All.
Where you are like spending the time actually working on your inner world, because most people just don't do it. Like they fake doing it because they're taking content and they think, oh, this content is making me a better version of me. It's not, because that's just addition. That's just learning more things. It's not unlearning certain things. It's
embodying
not thinking.
Them. Yeah, it's not embodying them. Look, unlearning is embodying. When you embody something, you unlearn the old. That's what it is. Unlearning is not literally unlearning. It's learning something else, so the old becomes old. And that takes time and practice. Constant practice.
Mm. Amazing, dude. I really enjoyed that. Thank you so much. As always, I think the podcast where we talk about money is always a good one, because it feels like a
triggering
topic in many ways.
It's triggering. Yeah.
But I think it's good. The more we talk about money, the more we kind of normalize it as well, and the more people can realize that it's an identity. It's a huge part of your identity, you know, because it's so tied to the value that you bring in the world and the way that you live your life. So I always really enjoy these conversations, and I love learning from you in these instances as well. So thank you for that.
Pleasure. And now Eric has got three Cokies in his left hand and one pen in his right hand. Bro, what is going on? How many security blankets do you need, Eric? When we talk about money, you got four pens in your hands. What is going on? Do we need to have a session off air?
Oh, that's funny.
What?
That's really funny.
Like, now, you know what it is every time Eric goes and does a strategy session at a corporate, he steals all the pens. And the whole stationery departments in all corporates have got Eric's picture on security. It's like search his bags for Cokies when he leaves this office park. Dude, how many pens? That's now another pen in your hand. You had a silver pen. Now you got a black pen. How much stationery do you have around you?
I do have a thing for I have a whiteboard here, another one here.
Do you live in a postnet? Do you live in a postnet? Is that your house? Stationery. That's your identity. Stationery kingpin.
All right. Listen, we'll leave it on that note. Everyone, thank you for joining. As always, we love having you along on this expansive journey, and looking forward to actually hitting 300 episodes this year. That's on the cards.
Yes.
It's going to be amazing. Yes. So thank you for joining us on this journey towards being more expansive in a world that's very overwhelming, in a world that tells you to shrink, to play it small. We hope that we're the voice that tells you to play it big, be expansive, and live with more openness. So thank you, and until next time, be expansive.
Ciao.